And it's about caring for our souls. It's about soul care. If you're wanting good reading material and you're going, where do you get this stuff? A great book by John Ortberg called Soul Keeper. It's wonderful. Go ahead and pick that up if you want to. But so we're going to be talking about this. Because of this. Because our souls are the most important thing about us. Why would we bother to have a series on soul care? It's because our souls are the single most important thing about us. A guy named Dallas Willard once said, "Your soul is not just something that lives on after your body dies. It's the most important thing about you. It's your life. It's your life, right?" And so it's our inner life. It's our place where our secret thoughts, our hopes, it's a place where our wishes live, right? It's our life. And so we are living souls. We are living souls that are made by God that need God. So you all know that your soul needs God. Your soul needs God. So if you remember one thing, like through this whole series over the next 4 weeks, please remember that. Your soul needs God, okay? And what is running our lives at any given moment in time is our souls. It's our souls. So you can think of your soul as like your operating system, right? So you all know what an operating system is. Windows is an operating system that runs a computer. You know, iOS is an operating system that runs your phone and your iPad, okay? You following me? What is it now? Sierra? Is it OS 10 Sierra now? Whatever. What's the mountain that they're naming it after now? For Macs. What is it? It's OS 10 Cummerbund, I think, is what they're at now. So Cummerbund. Yeah, so just OS Cummerbund. So it's the operating system. It's the thing that makes it all work and ties it all together. It's the operating system of our lives. It's the thing that integrates the will and the mind and the body into a whole single life. It's what connects us to other people. It's what connects us to creation. It's what connects us to God. Our soul is so important. It's the deepest part of you. The soul is the deepest part of you, okay? It's where you are connected with God and others. And when it's healthy, when your soul is healthy, it's when you're connected with God. It's when you're connected with others, okay? Your soul is healthy. Why are so many people's souls sick today? Is because they're neglecting that relationship with God and they're not truly connected with others, right? We're more connected with our phones. We have these paper-thin relationships through social media and through podcasts and whatever else. So we have these thin relationships. We're not really connected with other people and we're not really connected with God a lot of times. And so our souls aren't very healthy. And so even though our souls are the most important thing about us, they are incredibly easy to neglect. You ever notice that the most important things are the easiest to neglect? All right? And so our souls are super easy to neglect. We care for our bodies, right? Talked to Bethany today. Her and Ryan are doing some intermittent fasting now, caring for their bodies. I love it. I've been intermittent fasting for like 2 years now. I love it. I don't even plan on never stopping. We care for our bodies. We care for our minds. We nurture our minds. What do? We take classes. We go to school. We take notes. We read books. We nurture our minds. And we are just forever, you know, focused on the external parts of our lives, aren't we? Just always. Well, we're always trying this diet, trying this workout plan, you know, reading this book, the external things of our lives. But we're just not great at caring for our souls. We're just not that good. And maybe it's because, you know what, if you diet for a month and you exercise, you can look in the mirror and you can see a difference, right? Or you get some knowledge, you know this, you know these things, you've kind of focused on the externals, or maybe you've worked on your business or your finances, but you know, with our soul, it's a little more subtle. It's not so easy. And in fact, the difficult part is we usually don't realize the neglect of our souls until a crisis happens, right? We don't really notice the neglect of our soul until something happens and we go, whoa, okay, now I've got to change. Now I've got to do something. And so we're just not great at caring for our souls. And so Jesus even says, though, he says, what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world but forfeits his soul? What does a person have to gain if he gains the whole world but loses his soul? And so to lose your soul means to no longer have that healthy center that organizes and guides your life. And so the thing is your soul, if your soul is healthy, there's no external circumstance that can destroy your life. If your soul is healthy, it doesn't matter what comes your way, you're not going to be destroyed. You're not going to be, you know, it's not going to be over. But if your soul is unhealthy, there's no external circumstance that can redeem your life. Think about that. Think about the times when we're not healthy, where our soul is unhealthy. And what do? We reach out to relationships. We go, we reach out, you know, for sex, or we reach out for substances. We drink more or whatever. We do things, or maybe even we just get into this exciting program, or we do whatever that we think, oh, this is going to fix me. This is going to make things better, but it doesn't, right? When our soul is unhealthy, there's not a single external circumstance that we can add to our lives that's going to fix things. And so we have to understand that. That our soul is so important. It's the most important thing about us. And so as we kind of take this journey together, I want you to keep in mind that when we're talking about our souls, it's really important to understand that we're not talking about ourself. We're not talking about self. So sometimes people, I think, get that confused. They're like, that's right, I just need to do a little self-care. No, okay? It's not what I'm talking about. And so we live in this like self-obsessed culture, don't we? It's crazy. We got Goop now with what's her name? Who does Goop? Gwyneth Paltrow with the Goop. And we got Self Magazine. We've got so much self-help information out there. It's ridiculous. Self-help courses, self-help. It's all about that, right? The self-obsessed culture. And you think that with all the emphasis on self right now, that's in our culture, all the emphasis on self, that we'd all be like super happy and super healthy and super fulfilled, right? Like you would think, because, you know, it's all about self, but we're not. You know, here we are, we've got all of this information on self and taking care of self. You need to start taking care of you, you know. All you need is just another massage appointment. All you need is another sweatpants and binge watch. All you need is another, you know, taking care of yourself, get another facial, try this thing, whatever. It's all about, you know, like self. And if that were the case, then why in the world are we the most depressed, anxious society ever. Ever. And so all of that self stuff just is not working. It doesn't work to feed and nourish and make your soul healthy. All right? Now, I'm not saying those things are bad. Wendy and I went for a really weird massage a couple weeks ago. We didn't expect that. We walked in expecting like a foot massage. And then it was like this giant room with like, you know, like multiple people getting massages. And it was just like really, really, really strange. Wasn't that strange? It was like, ah, you take off your shirt. Well, I came in for a foot massage. Why do you want me to take my shirt off if you're here to massage my feet? And why is it going to take an hour to massage my feet? Anyway, so it was just a really strange thing. But people are like whispering. It was really strange. But, you know, like we are, y'all remember my friend Ron was just here preaching a couple weeks ago, and, you know, he has a counseling practice over at South Park, and he said probably a good 60%+ of the people that he sees are there for anxiety. You know, we have a lot of problem with anxiety in our culture. And so that self is, you know, taking care of self, that's not making that go away. And so when our lives revolve around ourselves, the problem is this. The problem is when our lives revolve around ourselves, we neglect our soul. We neglect our soul. So again, I'm all about, you know, take care of yourself. Please take care of yourself. Intermittent fast, because I'm doing it too. Go to a weird place and get a massage. Get your feet rubbed for an hour. I don't know, whatever, you know. Take care of yourself. That's good. But that is not the cure for anxiety and depression and all those things. And so our lives revolve around ourselves, we tend to neglect our soul. The thing is, again, and I you're going to hear me say this a bunch of times over the next few weeks, our souls need God. Yeah. Our souls need God. Our souls don't simply need a mental ascent of God. Our souls need God. Our souls need God. And so we're going to learn some things about our souls this morning, and we're going to take an honest look at our own souls. And when we look at our own souls, and you know what, this should go without saying, but when we talk about these things this morning, it's important to listen through the filter of, God, what are you saying to me? What are you saying to me? I'm convinced that half of the amens that we hear on Sunday mornings are people going, yeah, so-and-so in this room really needs to hear this. Please don't do that. This is about you. This is not about them. This is about you and what God has to speak to you, okay? And let's see what God has to say. First, let's pray. God, we love you and we thank you. But we thank you that our souls need you. We thank you that you have made us the way that you've made us. And God, I ask that you would just cause your word to come so alive in us today, God, that you would bring just transformation. And so, God, we praise you and we love you in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so we're going to start off. We're going to look at a parable that Jesus shared with his disciples, and it's in Matthew chapter 13, verses 3 through 9. And a lot of times when we read this parable, we read it thinking, okay, yes, about how, like, we're the seed, we're the one scattering seed in the parable. A lot of times we read this and we think, like, we're the ones scattering seed, and some people hear it one way, and other people hear it another way. And I want you to listen to the parable this morning really through a different lens. And I'm going to explain that in just a minute, but let me read it. It says this. Jesus is speaking. He says, listen, a farmer went out to plant some seeds. As he scattered them across his field, some fell on a footpath. Okay? And the birds came and ate them. Other seeds fell on shallow soil with underlying rock. The seeds sprouted quickly because the soil was shallow, but the plants soon wilted under the hot sun. And since they didn't have deep roots, they died. Other seeds fell among thorns and grew up and choked out the tender plants. Still, other seeds fell on fertile soil and they produced a crop that was 30, 60, even 100 times as much as had been planted. Anyone who hears, who has ears to hear, should listen and understand. And so I want you to remember this morning. The condition of my soul determines the quality of my person. So when we're reading this parable this morning, the question is, what is the condition of my soul, or what is the condition of my soil? Right? Am I the hard soil, the footpath? Am I the shallow soil with the rocks underneath? Am I the soil that's surrounded by thorns? This is questions that we need to stop and ask ourselves when we read this. Because the condition of my soul, is it healthy? It's going to determine the quality of your person. The quality of your person. And that is so, so, so important. Why? Because God is interested in who you are becoming. Because God is interested in who you are growing into. Those are very important things. Just like we're interested in the kind of people that our children are becoming, right? How many here wants to raise a child that's a spoiled little turd? You do? What does that say about the condition of your soul? All right? Right? We want our children not just to be successful, not just to be hardworking, we want our children to be quality people. We want our children to be humble. We want our children to run hard after God. We want our children to live a surrendered life to Christ. We want our children to be quality people and the condition of our soul. And so the same thing is with God. God wants us to be people that reflect Him. Okay? And so the condition of our soul determines the quality of our person. So in this parable, the seed represents the message of the kingdom, the words of Jesus. It's the message of the kingdom of God, and it's God's life-changing word, and it's God's desire and His will for you. That's the seed, God's desire, His will, the message of the kingdom. That's what the seed is. And the different types of soil represent the condition of our soul, like I said. And so when healthy souls heard the message of the kingdom, it took root. And not only did it just take root, but it brought life. Right? Y'all tracking with me? Okay? So when a healthy soul heard the message of the kingdom, it took root and it brought life. When unhealthy souls heard it, the word was either lost on them completely or it was quickly pushed out by the distractions and cares of the world. Okay? So as we dissect the story just a little bit this morning, what I want us to do is to evaluate the conditions of our souls. This is important. To evaluate the conditions of our souls. And so, and it's not to condemn yourself, and it's not to worry, but what I want to do is establish a starting point for you to walk with God towards greater depth in life. What do I want for you as your pastor? It's to be for you to be deeper people, for you to be people that are maturing in Christ. That's what I want for you, okay? For you to be people that are drawing closer to God, to have healthy souls. That's what I want for you. And so it starts with evaluating where you're at and the condition of your soil, your soul, okay? And so the first question that we need to ask ourselves is my soul like the footpath? Is my soul like the footpath? The footpath represents the hardened soul. Okay, y'all get that? If you've ever been outside and like tried to plant grass because you got a bald spot in your yard and the ground is all hard and dry and you toss seed on it, what happens? Nothing, right? You toss seed on it and it just sits at the top of the ground and it never really takes root. Then the rain comes and washes it away and you're like, that patch will never grow, right? And so it represents a hardened soul. And a lot of times what happens is for the hardened soul, these are usually people who've been through real hurt, real disappointment. And so what happens is they become cynical, right? Cynicism is just kind of like that attitude that nothing's ever going to change. When somebody expresses a little bit of love and caring towards you, you go, they don't mean it. They're fakers. Right? And so when people try to love you and express care for you, you meet that with suspicion. That's hardened soul. It's because you've been hurt. It's because you've been disappointed. It's because maybe someone has abused you or mistreated you. And it's almost like each of those pounds on your life are just pounding down the soil, making it harder and harder. And you become hardened soil. And a lot of times, maybe you might meet somebody who considers themselves a victim. You ever meet somebody that always kind of have that victim mentality? It's often because their soul is hardened. You know, that's a hardened soil. And so fear can kind of linger beneath that hardened soul. And fear of, maybe fear of looking uncool. No one would ever admit to fearing looking uncool because it would be uncool to admit that, right? But that fear of kind of looking uncool, the fear of being hurt, the fear of rejection, those are symptoms of a hardened soul. And so one of the remedies for a hardened soul, believe it or not, and it's going to sound real counterintuitive, but a little self-denial can go a long way for a hardened soul. A little self-denial. Because what do we do when our souls are hardened? Is the last thing that we do is self-denial. We kind of allow ourselves, I'm just going to eat this because I deserve it. It's going to make me feel good. I don't care that so-and-so said that's wrong. I'm just going to drink this because, you know what? Hey, I don't care who said that's going to be damaging to me. It's that, usually the last thing that happens in our life is self-denial when we have a hardened soul. And so when we can just practice that, just practice a little bit of self-denial, a little bit of giving, a little bit of I'm going to hold off, even if it's a self-denial of, you know what, I'm not drinking today. Even if it's just a little bit of that self-denial of, you know what, I'm going to fast for a little bit. Just practicing, just the act of self-denial can help break up that hardened soil. Okay? Remember that because it's very counterintuitive. That's not something that a lot of people are going to remember from now when they go, my soul feels a little hardened. They're not going to think self-denial. But self-denial can go a long way. Lay down your rights. Laying down your rights will help break up the hardened soil. Because when we hold on to our rights, right? We're just packing that hardened soil down a little bit more. Lay down your rights. Ask God to help you see others the way that He does. Okay? Some of you guys have been hurt by people. Some of you guys came from churches even where the leadership there was sort of like domineering. Right? You just had poor leadership. You had people in your life that were going, hey, if you don't look like Jesus and smell like Jesus, you know, if you're, you know, then you're going to hell, right? Some people have been through just domineering, spiritually abusive leadership. And what you need to do is you need to ask God to help you see that person the way that Jesus does. Right? Stop using it as an excuse to keep your hardened soil. Practice a little self-denial and say, God, help me to see that person the way that you do. Help me to see the person that hurt me the way that you do. Give me your eyes to see. Let go of your right to hold on to that offense. Let go of your right to be a jerk because they were a jerk. Let go of your right, okay? That will help to soften your soil. We could spend all morning on that. But practice some self-denial. Ask God to help you see others the way that He does. Okay? The other question is this. Is my soul like the shallow soil? Is my soul like the shallow soil? The shallow soil represents the superficial soul, right? The superficial soul. Can I just tell you, the need of your soul is not more information. The need of your soul is not more entertainment. The need of your soul is not more excitement. Okay? These are shallow things. These are superficial things. The need of our souls is a deeper, more intimate walk with Jesus. It is. It's so much easier to listen to a sermon podcast than it is to spend a half hour with Jesus. It is. It's so much easier to turn on TBN and watch, you know, Joseph Prince or somebody preach at us for a half an hour and we feel real good about that sermon. It's much easier to do that than it is to go, I'm shutting the world out for a half an hour, Jesus, it's you and me. But what your soul needs is for you to shut everything off for a half an hour and spend that time with Jesus. Okay? The shallow soil is the superficial soul. And our soul needs a deeper, more intimate walk with Jesus. Psalm 42:1 says, as the deer pants for the water brook, so pants my soul for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, the living God. So we don't want to be shallow. We don't want to be superficial. We want the deep things of Christ. Our souls grow in depth when we connect with God. Our souls grow in depth when we connect with God. I'm going to probably say this again in the next couple of weeks, but can I just say, information does not equal spiritual maturity. We think it does, right? I read this book. I heard this sermon. We think that if we just pile on all this spirituality, that it's somehow spiritual maturity, but we're no more humble, we're no more generous, we're no more loving than we were before we piled on all that stuff, okay? Now, I'm not saying neglect them. Those are great. Listen to sermon podcasts. I want you to. That's awesome. Listen to our podcast, for Pete's sake, when you miss, right? But take time to be with Jesus. There's nothing that can replace relationship with Christ. Nothing at all, okay? And so our souls grow in depth when we connect with God. Our souls grow in depth. He is immeasurably deep, and He longs to walk in friendship with us. That's the great thing about God. You can spend your whole life digging and going deeper and deeper and deeper. You know what? You'll never get it all. You will never get it all. Okay? He's the mountain without a summit. You can keep on climbing, and I love that about God. He is immeasurably deep. Connect with God in prayer. Connect with God in worship. Connect with God in your study of His Word, not Joseph Prince's study with His Word. That's good. Listen to Joseph Prince. That's fine. But do your own study. And I even tell people here, listen, you might hear me preach on Sunday, almost every Sunday, or when you preach, but please do your own study. That's why when we go through studies of the Word, we ask, are y'all reading along? Are you going with? Are you reading along? Okay? Because my study is not your growth. All right? You need to get into the Word, and you need to study, and you need to nourish your soul. Okay? So is your soul the shallow soil? The next question is my soul the thorny soil? Okay? The thorny soil represents the cluttered soul. The cluttered soul. I think that we probably live in a day and age with more cluttered souls than any other time in history. Okay? Is my soul the cluttered soul? Our lives get so cluttered with worries, right? You said the worries and the cares of life creep in. We worry about stuff we don't have, right? We worry about stuff. We worry about, you know, it's the worries of life. It's the constant consumerism and the desire for things that are unhealthy for the soul. We live in a world where much of us spend like lots and lots and lots of time online now. We work online. We play online. We waste time online and all those things. And being a digital marketer, can I tell you, they have it down to such a science to make you want their stuff. It's ridiculous. Like the psychology behind it is just insane. Like we have software, literally, when you go to a website that promotes something, and then you go to a different website and an ad pops up for the website you were just at, promoting the product you were just looking at. You ever gone on like Amazon and look at a pair of shoes, and then you jump on Facebook and that pair of shoes is in an ad in the sidebar? Yeah, you know, I mean, they know what they're doing. So we live in a cluttered consumer life, and there's a saying that goes like this: if the devil can't make you sin, he'll make you busy. Right? If the devil can't make you sin, he'll make you busy, because either way, your soul will shrivel. All right? And we're just so busy with stuff these days. We're busy with sports. We're busy with this activity. We're busy with that family thing. We're busy with this. Like, we're always busy. We're always on the go. Always busy, 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 busy. When do we take time to care for our souls? Right? And so, excuse me. I need a drink of water. Yeah. Okay, so we have cluttered souls. Clutter is dangerous because it's subtle. Because clutter feels good initially. I'm involved with this thing now. I'm in this thing, and I'm doing that. And I'm taking my kids here, and I'm taking my kids there, and we're buying this. And you know, clutter is really subtle because we mistake clutter for life. Right? We mistake clutter for life, and we don't realize that our souls are too cluttered until it's too late. That's the subtle thing about it, is you don't realize that your soul is too cluttered until it's too late, until there's a crisis, until something falls apart, a relationship falls apart, or we do something stupid, like we yell at somebody, or we do something, you know, just really unchristian, or we try to medicate ourselves because we feel miserable. And we don't understand clutter until it's too late. And it's so important that we make space for God. Make space for God. And for some of us, that just means doing something practical, like putting it on the calendar, right? I know that sounds silly. It's like, well, I shouldn't have to put God on the calendar. Yes, you should. If you're not doing it otherwise, then you should. You know, because what goes on the calendar? Important stuff. If you have a doctor appointment, what do? Put it on the calendar. We don't just go, well, I'll get around to the doctor when I have time, you know. I'm a good patient, I'll go see the doctor, right? No, we put it on the calendar. We have a job interview. Do we just go, I'll show up when I want? You know, whatever. No, put it on the calendar. Make it an appointment that you keep every day, right? This is going to sound funny, and some of you guys might be offended by this. Some of you might be like, what? I put date nights on the calendar. Are you okay with that, Wendy? Why? It means it's going to happen. Exactly. I put date night on the calendar. And it's there as a recurring appointment. Date night on the calendar. And because if I don't, I might intend to take her out on a date. I might want to take her out on a date. But you know what? Chances are I probably won't. Something else will fill that space. Clutter. Why? Because what's the? There's a law. There's a law behind that. Something will always the time. Oh, come on. What's the law? Let me get a drink of water while I think about that. Somebody else think about that too. No, that's if something can go wrong, it will. But it's things will crowd in to take up the space allotted. Like free time will always be gobbled up by other things. So if you have free time, whatever that is, it will always be gobbled up by other things if it's not on the, if you don't have something on the calendar, if it's not reserved, it's not set aside. I learned this when I was learning to play the guitar, because I realized that if I didn't write practice guitar on my calendar, that I wouldn't practice my guitar. Something would come along to occupy that space, that time that I thought that I would have. And the same thing is with God, our time with God. All right? So don't let your soul shrivel. Make space so that his words can take root in our soul. In our soul. And I know I should probably put that on my calendar some more, practicing guitar.
He's got Parkinson's Law.
Parkinson's Law.
Work will expand to fill the space.
Yes, work will expand to fill the space. Okay? So stuff will expand to fill that space on your calendar. So you need to go, no, this is my God time. All right? So, is my soul like the thorny soil? The condition of my soul determines the quality of my person. So why is that? You know, why didn't I say the quality of my life? And I mentioned this earlier. Why didn't I say the condition of my soul determines the quality of my life? It's because, as Dallas Willard says, what matters is not the accomplishments you achieve. This is so important, you guys. What matters is not the accomplishments you achieve. What matters is the person you become. What matters is not the accomplishments you achieve. What matters is the person you become. Right? And that is determined by your soul. By your soul. And so as we wrap up today, so I don't know, worship team, if you want to come and take your place, that's fine. If you were completely honest today, how would you describe the condition of your soul? If you were honest, how would you describe the condition of your soul? Is it like the footpath? Is it hardened? Is it like the shallow soil? Superficial? Right? Is it like the thorny soil? Is it cluttered? Too much? Not enough room for God? Is it keeping God out? Is it preoccupied? Is it cluttered by business or distraction? Trying to find meaning through motion? Isn't that what we do? We try to find meaning through motion. Make some space. I want to encourage you guys. Practice some self-denial today. Practice a little self-denial. Right? If you're wanting to reach into your kid's Halloween bag for a little candy, a little self-denial. Hey, just a little practice. You're just practicing, right? Practice a little self-denial. Connect with God on a deeper level. Connect with God on a deeper level. I love church. It's God's change agent for the world. But if church is my only connection time with God all week long, or for some people, 3 out of 8 Sundays, that's the national average now, right? That's not enough. You can't expect that to keep your soul healthy. You need to connect with God. Every day, or most days, as I like to say. Right? Every day, or most days. And so the question that I have for you, and I need to ask this question. I'm not quite sure if I wrote it in the bulletin or not, but it's an important question to ask. In fact, why don't we do this real quick? Why don't you all just kind of close your eyes for a minute? Because I just want to give you 30 seconds to think. The question is, what would be different in my life if my soul was fertile and healthy? Right? Just think about that for a minute. What would be different in my life if my soul was fertile and healthy? What would my relationships look like? What would my level of peace look like? What would my attitude look like in my view of the world around me? What would be different in my life if my soul was fertile and healthy?